Thanks, Shane. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Dassey Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Thanks, Dermot. Good afternoon on this Friday afternoon. How are you? 51551 for your texts. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. We have a star-studded programme for you today. Yes, star of international rugby, Tadhg Furlong, will be just after 4 o'clock. They're saying he's the best prop forward in the world at the moment. So we'll be chatting to him about Camp Isle in County Wexford and beef farming and loads of other things. There'll be a bit of rugby in there as well after 4 o'clock. Neil Delamere, star of the comedy scene, he's going to be with us. And rock star, he's a rock star, Mike Scott, front man with the Waterboys. He's going to be with us as well. And we have folk legend star Aoife Scott in front of me to talk to us about Tradfest. How are you doing, Aoife?
I wouldn't call myself a legend as yet, but no, I appreciate it. Thanks, Craig.
Well, you know, down Kildare,
you make me feel old. Like.
No. If you're a legend, you're sound. You're good.
You're, all right, you know, okay. You're doing that. I don't mind that. Yeah.
Is that okay?
Right. That's fair enough. Yeah,
now, before we get to Aoife, she's going to start us off with a song today. I must tell you that the Rolling Stones have taken to TikTok. Aha, it's big news. I might consider going on TikTok myself. So what they've done is they've opened up personal accounts and there's an official band account. So they have a playlist of 44 essential Rolling Stones songs for people to sink their teeth into. There's only 4 videos up so far, and they're begging people, imploring people to get involved by remixing or covering their work. And like, this is going to be huge. This is going to be huge. That's for the mechanics, obviously, and then for the DIY people, you know. I know, but Joe said he'd butter be going, so you know, at least I've music here. Okay, that's where the musical puns will stop, but...
Pleased to meet you.
Ah, brilliant.
Hope you get my day. Oh, yeah. But what's bustling you is the nature of my day. Oh, yeah. Get down, hit it.
Okay, train driver. Oh, no. Stop. There, yeah. So many hits, so many great songs. The Rolling Stones, now available on TikTok, a TikTok account near you. I think this one's going to be a hit on TikTok. All those TikTok people are going, there's something wrong with the sound. There's too much of him on one side. It's because the stereo split on that is mad, isn't it? Isn't it? The stereo split.
It is funny,
the stereo split.
It's mad, like, yeah. It really is mad.
Are you a fan?
I wouldn't be. I'd be more a Beatles head now.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, I'm so disappointed. I'm so disappointed.
I know. It's to blame my brother. He's the one that got me into the Beatles, so.
But listen to all those great songs.
Andy would be into it. I think Andy would be Rolling Stones, would you?
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
over the Beatles.
Yeah.
Or I'd not probably know them better than the Beatles, all right, but I love the Beatles as well, but I... You have a soft spot for the Rolling Stones.
Yeah. Great to see you both.
Thanks
for coming in. And you're here because it's only days away from Tradfest.
I know.
And you're curating.
I'm a curator these days.
Yes, of women of note. Yeah, look at you, a curator.
I know. Where would you be going? I started actually kind of putting a gig together with women about 4 years ago, and it was actually called the Secret Song Circle, and we only had 100 people at it. But the idea was that I would sell the gig without anybody knowing who was on the lineup, and it was only women in the round on the stage. But then, you know, Tradfest was like, come on, Aoife. It was popular, like, because it kept selling out, and he was like, we have to make it bigger, but you're going to have to tell people who's on the show. Yeah. So last year we did it in St. Patrick's Cathedral, and we had the amazing Peggy Seeger, and we had Wallace Bird, and it was absolutely incredible, like, an amazing artist, and we're doing it again next Wednesday. Yeah.
And who's can you
we
tell
have
us?
The Bowled Mary Coughlin.
Ah, brilliant.
And we have Dermot Glacon, and we have this amazing singer from North Carolina who I met actually was doing Women of Note in America last year, and I'm bringing her over from she's called Charlie Lowry. She's amazing. She plays with this kind of indigenous hand drum and steady.
All right. That's something to look forward to. Yeah. And Tradfest, templebar.com for all the details of Women of Note and all the other gigs. And it's going to be tinged with a little bit of sadness this year because Seamus Begley won't be there.
I know, yeah. And it's funny, for Tradfest for me, because I started my career kind of at Tradfest and they gave me some supports originally about 6 or 7 years ago. And I supported Seamus Begley actually in the Button Factory. It was one of my first ever gigs with them. And he is such a massive loss. Like, I don't know if anybody, people understand. I mean, the Irish traditional folk scene really understand how much of a loss it is. He was the chieftain of Irish trad. He kept us all going, and all he wanted to do was bring joy to everybody. And even in his playing and his stories and his crack and his madness, you know, he really was. I'm sure even with the funeral last week, I'm sure he's still playing up there in the sky, you know, because he just was an incredible man.
He'll get a lot of mentions, won't he, during Tradfest?
I'd say so, because like for us, even when we were growing up and as teenagers, me and Andy Mehl, his album with Steve Cooney was such a massive influence. We used to listen to it all the time, you know. We're so nerds about trad. And that was our nerdy trad album. So many people used to listen to it. Like, and he just was a trailblazer. Yeah. He really was.
I didn't know about you, Aoife Scott, that you'd turned your back on singing at one stage, and then a song and Andy changed it all for you.
Well, Andy changed my life. He gets the credit. I suppose the song we did the last time when you got to manage to manoeuvre John Altman into the studio that time, we did the song Wonder Where the Lines Are. And I do tell the story on stage for anybody who's heard me perform before, but basically I was kind of in work and a job and I was miserable. I was working from 6 in the morning until 11 o'clock at night, and I was really, really tired, and I tend to suffer in and out of depression, you know, and I was really, really low during this period, and I'd stop singing. I kind of was so low that I'd stop singing, and for anybody who knows me, when I'm singing I'd be smiling my head off. It's the thing that makes me happy. So it was kind of a catch-22. When you get low, you forget to do the things that make you happy. And so I was in that situation. Anyway, I was down on the keys and I was going on my lunch break one afternoon, Wednesday afternoon, lashing rain. And it was one of those sideways rains hitting you in the face. And at the time, people were ringing in Joe complaining about the seagulls. There was killer seagulls swooping there. Anyway, I was having my jam sandwiches. They were the scaldiest sandwiches in the world. I brought into lunch with me, eating them down there. And I was just feeling really sorry for myself. And Andy said, "Aoife, I heard the song." He sent me a text and he said, "I heard the song. I think you'd like it." And I was like, "Oh, would you get away from me?" So, but I did. I put in my headphones and I pressed play. And I heard the first few bars of this song, and I looked up to the sky and the clouds parted and the sun appeared and something cracked within me. Something
Where the
broke
Lines
open.
Are, and you sang it for us the last time,
yes.
So you're not going to sing it again today.
No.
But it's available. That version of it is coming out on a duets thing and
an album.
Yeah,
an album called Selected. Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to launching it. I'll be sending it to you, Ray. Hopefully, we'll
come
back in.
You will. Yes, you will be coming back in. But today you're going to start us off on this Friday afternoon with one of my favorite songs. It's Candy Staten, Young Hearts Run Free, and here's Aoife Scott and Andy doing their version. When you're ready.
Okay, hopefully it's good. What's the sense in sharing this one and only life, ending up just another lost and lonely wife? If you count up the years, and they will be filled with tears. Only breaks up to start over again. You'll get the babies, but you won't have your man. While he is busy loving every woman that he can, I say I'm gonna leave 1,000 times a day. It's easier said than done, but I just can't break away. I just can't break away. Oh, young hearts run free. Up like my man and me. Oh, oh, young hearts, do yourself be true. Don't be no fool when love really don't love you. Oh, don't love you.
That was brilliant. That was really good. I really enjoyed that.
Thanks, Ray.
That was great. And they're talking about Miley Cyrus and flowers. Like that was saying the same thing all those years ago, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, it's a funny song when it was a request for an upbeat song. This is an upbeat song, but it's not the happiest song in the world.
No, it's not the happiest song, no.
She's kind of miserable. I feel sorry for this poor woman who wants to leave her husband and she can't, you know?
You did a great job.
Thanks
there.
Very much.
Thanks, Aoife. Thanks, Andy, for the moment. You're going to come back to us at about 25 past four and sing us out.
Yeah.
Thank you for
thanks
the moment.
Yes. Thanks so much.
And tradfest@templebar.com for all the information on upcoming gigs. Now, better tell you about our quiz. Yeah, it's the Whodunit quiz. And we're looking for two of you to come on and answer three Whodunit questions each on music, sport, books, politics, inventions, comedy, anything that involves human endeavour is up for grabs. Like all whodunits, there will be clues. If you answer without a clue, you get two points if you opt for the more difficult option and don't take a clue. However, if you go for the easier option and take a clue, you get 1 point if you answer correctly, and there is a prize. And we say thank you very much to the Kingsley in Cork, who've given us five breaks this week for two people, two nights stay in the Kingsley. The beautiful bedrooms down there, bistro-style restaurant, luxury spa, an extensive health club. The Kingsley has everything you need for your first getaway of 2023. It's set in a stylish and distinctive riverside location on the banks of the River Lee. It's a great base to explore Cork City and County. Blarney Castle, Rumley's Open Farm, Kinsale, Crosshaven, or in the city you've 4,000 artworks at Crawford Art Gallery. thekingsley.ie. Now, here is your qualifying question. Which rock band recently joined the social media platform TikTok? So which rock band recently joined the social media platform TikTok? 0818 715925. That's 0818 715925. Good luck with that.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now we have star of stage, screen and podcast, Neil Delamere.
Hello.
Because it's all the stars today, Neil.
Is this? Yeah, yes. Mike Scott, Eve Scott and then me.
Yes. Would you change your name to Scott just for the purposes of this hour? So you're back on the road. Delamerium.
Yeah.
Delamerium.
I wanted to call it Delamerium Tremens and then realised that nobody, loads of people don't know what Delirium Tremens is.
Yes.
So I just went, I'm going to call it Delamerium. And then and people always go, what that's about? And you go, yes. Because they always ask you to name a show like 6 months before you've written it. You know what I mean? So it's just kind of something random, really.
Ah, you know? Right. So the name comes first.
The name comes first. Yes, usually you're doing the Edinburgh Fringe Festival and they go, what are you doing? And you go, I am doing The Fresh Prince of Delamere.
Right.
Because that's a great title. And they go, what's it about? And you go, I'm driving through a tunnel. And then, because you haven't written it yet, right?
I'm driving through a tunnel. That's a great one, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I can't hear you. Bye. Yeah. And then you just write some nonsense blurb that is, I shouldn't be giving away the secrets. But you write some sort of, the Irish Times wrote this and the Scotsman wrote this and five stars and he's playing here.
Yeah.
So you always, rarely enough do you have a show in your head that's entirely done and written, you know, 6 months before.
In advance, yeah.
You know what
I mean? Yeah. 20 years you're doing it.
Yeah.
Is it 20 years?
Yeah, I did. I won the RTE competition in 2001 or two. Yeah,
What competition was that?
That was it's the RTE New Comedy Awards. So I'm the reigning champion of the RTE New Comedy Awards.
We did one as well, though. We did one on the telly, yeah. It was sort of Go On Be Funny, I think was the name of it. Or Stand Up and Be Funny or something like that. Yeah.
Okay, Sinead, so I'm the second
Sinead
last.
Won it. Yes. Yeah,
oh, Sinead Quinlan.
Yeah.
I did Ireland's Fittest Families with Sinead Quinlan.
Ah, and, right. Did you win that?
Have I told you this story?
No.
So my secret weapon was going to be my cousin, who's a senior hurler for a very good county, and he'd run all day, this fella. Like, he had to get a diesel Fitbit. He's an absolute animal. Had to change a clutch in his Fitbit. He's savage. And 4 days before we were meant to do it in August, he goes, my knee's gone. So I had to get my other cousin Rosie from
inter-county hurler.
She's not, but at 4 days' notice, she said yes. So you know how fit she is. But Rosie is my cousin in much the same way that former US President Barack Obama is from Moneygall County Offaly. Right. If you can find a genealogist who can connect the two of us, Ray, you're a better man than I am, right?
So who is Rosie then? This random person.
I typed into Google who's the fittest person in Tipperary. Right. No, she's kind of related by marriage.
Right.
And we went in and we're up against a happy pair.
Oh yeah,
and yeah, get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to swim in the sea, and so we were there the first day, and they said, "Can you introduce the team?" I went, "This is James, my brother-in-law. This is Emily, my niece, and this." And I looked at Rosie, and I forgot her name. She's just looking at me, and she knew she'd have to go whatever name I gave her for the next 25 minutes. And I'm like, "Tamara." So the first thing we had to do is go into the bog, and the bog is tough. Oh, Jesus. Like, it's really, like 20 seconds in, I was feeling good. Like 60 seconds in, I was absolutely wrecked. And they have a referee as well. You know, in case you can figure out where to cheat while wading through a bog. Like, you're going to get
cheated already.
Like a Shetland pony. Yeah, I did my cheating in advance of it. Yeah. And I was wrecked, and I felt this hand, Aunt Rosie, and I don't know, and she grabbed me and she hoofed me through the bog. Now, I don't know if you've ever gotten a wedgie on national television, no, Ray, but oh, mother of God, the feelings you don't expect to feel is relief, which is what it was. I was like, pull away. She hoofed me over bog, but we came over log. We came, I think Sinead went first, then we went, and then it was Grainne and the happy pair in the end. It was great crack.
And who won it?
Who do you think won it?
Happy pair.
The happy pair won it.
Yeah, yeah. And where were you placed?
We were third.
Because you're competitive.
Oh, Lord, yeah.
Because the first time I met you was on Blackboard Jungle.
Yes.
Did you win that?
No, we had won it. The school had won it, but
oh,
no.
Oh, yes.
No.
I got confused.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was big.
So you asked me, my first ever time on TV, you went, you've won it before. And I went, yeah. And you go, and you got the minibus. And I went, yeah. And we'd sold the minibus. On it. Okay. And I had to go, yeah. So, yeah, I would be competitive in things I'm kind of, I think I might have a shot at.
Right.
I wouldn't be competitive.
So you've become a sort of a serial quiz contestant.
I love the old quizzes. Yeah.
So go on.
My brother's a brilliant quizzer.
Right.
So he, like, his team won the All Ireland last year.
But he wouldn't qualify for the celebrity versions. No.
I mean, that's a fairly. I qualified in England, which is a fairly loose term of celebrity.
It's Rosie, your cousin.
It's I don't know who that daughter was, but yeah. I turned up anyway. Yeah, I did Celebrity Mastermind.
Right.
I did House of Games.
Richard Osman's
House of Games, yeah. And I did Countdown in Dictionary Corner, and I did the Celebrity Chase.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah. So it was. I have to say they're great. They were great crack. The first one I did, which was Countdown, and sitting beside Susie Dent. And you know, if you don't get a word, like, she'll kind of go, "Listen, that's the word." And she looks at me, and I couldn't see anything in the letters. And she goes, "There's this a science term, and it's etalons, E-T-A-L-O-N-S, right?" And because in the panic, I thought she said echelon, which is the Irish word for airplane.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just looking at her going, "What are you talking about? What are you using for the fodder? I have no idea what's going on." And then she kind of wrote it out on a little piece of paper. But that's sort of...
What is an etalon?
Etalon is some physics term. I have no idea. But it's one of those, like, that's a kind of pinch yourself moment, because it's Countdown. It's been on forever. Yeah. And I used to watch it with my mum, Richard Whiteley and Carol Vorderman. Yeah. So that was kind of a thrill. And then I did.
And you're obviously not doing something you were supposed to be doing if you're watching it. You know what I mean? I always felt
That's a lot of things in life, isn't it? Yeah. It's like, if you're very good at pool, like, yeah, what were so you? What should you have been doing when you were learning to screw back the white ball like that?
So a mastermind. What was your chosen specialist topic?
I wanted to do Red Hugh O'Donnell, because there's no sources on that, pretty much, or very few. I thought, handy. And they went, "Well, I don't know, UK audience."
Yeah.
I said, "I did a documentary on Vikings." They went, "Yeah," and I hung up the phone, delighted I was on Mastermind, and then realised that's 500 years, that's 400 years of history across three continents.
Yeah.
What am I doing? And I was up against the winner of The Apprentice, who did The Wolf of Wall Street, the film.
Right.
The film, 2.5 hours. She sat down and watched the film, and I'm sitting there reading Icelandic sagas like a tool.
Because we had a guy on, we had a historian and journalist from Iceland on recently.
Really?
Yeah, talking to us about the connections between Ireland, the Vikings, and Iceland.
Did he do the genetics of Icelandic women? Did
yes,
he talk about
he
that?
Did, he did.
So loads more of them are Irish.
And his big thing, because he's written a new book on it, and we've lost the audience here completely.
Right. No, there's one guy who's tuned in online from Reykjavik going, "Finally, some Viking-based, if he talks about Snorri Sturluson's Icelandic sagas, I'm going to write a fan letter to
him." He was saying Hekla is a volcano.
Yeah.
And he traced it back to Ogla, which is fear.
Oh,
in Irish, yeah. So, and there were a number of other ones which I can't remember.
Well, Níl's saga is one of the famous sagas, and that's Niall. It's from Niall, Irish name Niall or
so,
Níl.
Anyway, we have his number upstairs.
Okay,
enjoy that, Josh.
See, you don't have to do that on your radio show, because it's massive broad appeal.
No, no.
My podcast would be like, I'll be in his house in 25 minutes.
He'd be up for it, because he's written the book, and I can't remember the name of it, and he is good English.
And
he's a broadcaster, so he'll get a good sound quality for
you
as well. You do with Dave Moore,
the podcast.
Which is called, and it suits you because you're a bit of a nerdy McNerd.
Thank you.
No, but I'm the same. Yeah, well,
that's
not. No, yeah.
That's why the pause was there. Yeah, I was considering who was saying it to me, yes. And I looked in your eyes, and I went, "Ah, no, that's okay, my Darcy."
Yeah. Neen Kiro, Kiro Gela.
Yes, absolutely.
That's it. Yeah, yeah. So you finished up season two, did you? Before
season
Christmas?
Two. So season three is starting in a couple of weeks. So we basically the idea is it's called Why Would You Tell Me That, and we converse, me and Dave, like weird people. Like, we don't say hello, we go, did you know that there wasn't a pitched battle in Iceland for 300 years? And we do stuff like that. So we said, let's put this to, you know, be deliberately niche if you want.
Yes.
So we chat to each other in the first half about kind of related topics, and then we get a proper expert in the second half. So we had Susie Dent explaining the history of words, and I was talking to her about the word belubas and where that came from, and she hadn't heard that, and her Brno English and that sort of stuff, and that's from, you know, from we were on UN duty in Congo. Coming up in an upcoming series, we've the guy who's a neurologist who coined the term aphantasia. Now, aphantasia is when, for example, you don't have
It's niche enough.
You don't have a mind's eye.
Right. What's the name of it again?
It's called aphantasia. You don't have a mind's eye. So you don't. So when I said to you, visualize your front door.
I know. I live up there visually in my head.
Yeah. You live in your head. Yeah. Okay. That can be a good thing. You could be that. You're hyperphantasic. And some people just don't have a mind's eye. They cannot imagine things. And you can be globally aphantasic, so you don't have a mind's ear. You can't hear tunes.
Yeah.
And he coined the term, and he came on and talked to us about that. So like in the first half, we talk about other things that people don't have or whatever, but he would come on in the second half. So it's genuinely,
this is Emily coming in because the computer is saying no today for some reason. So Della Miriam, and how do people buy tickets for that, because you're all over the place?
I'm in pretty much every county. Yeah, they're on my website, or they're on the, say, like I'm doing the Mermaid in Bray, you can go to the Mermaid website, or I'm doing, say, Vicar Street or the Ice Hockey Arena in Belfast or whatever, you know.
Yeah, and you did the SSE and sold it out in Belfast.
Yeah, and I'm doing it again.
How many people is that?
Yeah, it depends what kind of format you do it in, but you can do 4,000 or 5,000, or you can do it in the full whack. Yeah, so it's kind of mad because you do it and the laugh travels around it, you know what I mean?
So you have to wait for it to finish, do you?
Yeah. But you finish your punchline and you think, okay, here's the laugh. But if you've gotten that wrong, you go, oh no, it's not the acoustics. it's the joke. All right. I did 25 minutes on Icelandic, the links between Iceland volcanoes and Ireland. What am I doing? But it's a different skill, I have to say.
Yeah. You seem in good form because the last time you were in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the middle of the lockdown. The gigging had been taken away from you.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like you're...
Was I in a bit weird?
Yeah.
It was a bit weird there for a while, you know. But that's why I did stuff like Dancing with the Stars, and that's why I did Fitz Families. Yes. Fitz Families was like, that'll train me for 2 months and I'll go out and I'll have to get out of the house for a bit. It's a bit weird. I'll be honest with you, it's a bit weird. And last... was it January 2021 was quite tough, I thought, you know. Because I'm a person who writes... Comedians are terrible, most of them anyway. We write to deadlines. That's how we do it. I think lots of people who write do it to a deadline. If you don't have a deadline, like we all have great intentions. I can't speak for us all, but I had a great intention. Oh, listen, I'm going to write this show. And I have an idea for a heist show. I love heist films. And I said, oh, I'll write that in the downtime. But when you don't have it, well, you have to have it by Edinburgh, the Fringe Festival, or you have to have it by now. And it became a little bit fluid. The first 6 months were grand. Four or five months I had a few projects on, and you kind of go, oh, okay, this is an enforced break from touring, because I tour every year. But then when you didn't realise it was when the end was going to come, it was a bit,
you're a long way away from it, but you'll have to sort that out before you retire. You're a long way, you know, but it is, because that's part of the retirement thing.
That is part of the retirement thing. Yeah. Andrew Maxwell always had a great line. He's like, I'm a natural clown, which means I will be still doing this 5 years after you've wanted me to stop doing this. And I think he's right. If you find yourself on a cruise ship when you're 75 and that's not where you want to be as a performer, well, then maybe you should have given up before that. But I'll do other things that keep me interested.
I know, I was only joking, but there's
you weren't. You were being sensible. Do you have a pension, Neil?
That's a very personal question.
No, I said, do you have a pension, Neil?
Sorry.
I wasn't asking you. Do you have a pension?
On that note, Neil Delamere, we'll say thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks, Ray.
Have a good weekend and good luck with Delamere. Yeah, get a pension.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551 ray at rte.ie. Joined in studio by Mike Scott.
Hello, Ray.
You don't need any introduction, Mike Scott, do you?
I hope not.
Yes. Big news in that you've sold out one gig in the Ivy Gardens and the second one's going on sale on Monday. Have you played the Ivy Gardens before?
We did. We played in 2012.
Yeah. It's a lovely venue, isn't it?
A beautiful place to play, yeah.
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 Do you have favourite venues, or can you say?
That was probably my favourite one in Dublin. Now, if the old Olympic Ballroom was still in existence, that would be my favourite.
Mm. So it's the 14th is sold out, 13th goes on sale on Monday.
Mm.
Now, I've been doing a daily radio show for 23 years, Mike Scott, and your name has been mentioned, I'd say, you know, not hundreds of times, but definitely 50 times. Would you do an interview with Mike Scott? Yes, yes, yes. It never happened. This is the first time. Yeah. So it's great to see you.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Great to finally get here.
Yeah. So if I ask you questions about way back, you'll excuse me, will you?
Oh, I don't mind.
You
at
don't
all.
Mind at all.
Oh,
you don't mind
talk
at all.
About anything you like.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Firstly, news of today that you found another Mike Scott on Twitter.
I did. Just when I was in the cafe there at RTE. Yeah.
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 How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm pleased because there's not many of us Mike Scotts. Interestingly, there's another one who's a musician in America. He's a guitar player. And our tour manager worked with him a while ago and he's just introduced us by email. So I'm thinking of suggesting to him that we do a project together, make a record and call it The Mike Scotts.
And you're Scottish, you're a Scot as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this chap's American, but I won't hold that against
him. Okay, and did you know the nationality of this other Mike Scott you've discovered today?
He looks English to me, but I'm not certain.
He looks English. So you were introduced, your relationship with Ireland predated the Waterboys. It was because of your mum.
She brought me here on a summer holiday in 1970. I was minus 22 years old, and we stayed a week in Kinsale. I remember swimming in the that was in Sligo. The outdoor pool was in Sligo, and then we had a week in Sligo. And my mum was going to the Yates Summer School every day, and apparently she took me to some of the lectures. I heard Seamus Heaney speak, apparently, but at that age I didn't remember.
Yeah, but it obviously by some sort of osmosis got into your brain.
Yeah, well, I grew up learning to respect Yeats. He was spoken about in hushed tones in our house.
Yeah, and then in 2010, you did the whole Yeats thing.
That's
in the
right.
Abbey.
Yeah. An appointment with Mr. Yeats, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so was this always going to be that you'd have this relationship with our country? Or?
Well, I did love Ireland when I came here as a kid. I loved it very much. And I felt this kind of magic in Ireland that wasn't in the UK. It wasn't there when I went back home. And when I came here in the 80s, first to play concerts and then to live, I found that magic again. I'm very happy here, very comfortable here.
Yeah. So it was in around 1986 that you moved over full time.
Yes, indeed. Do you know, I arrived the day Philo checked out.
Oh, did you?
The 4th of January, 1986. And Steve Wickham met me at Dublin Airport. And on the taxi ride into Dublin, Philo was on the radio. They were playing his songs and announcing that he'd died.
Had you ever met him?
I encountered him once backstage in 1978 at the Rainbow Theatre. It was after a Patti Smith gig. I was 19. Somehow I'd blagged my way in and I was looking around backstage. I was actually a guest of Patti Smith and I stumbled upon the backstage bar. And when I walked in, this bloke, he looked about 7 feet tall in a powder blue suit, walked up to me and it was Philo. And I'm telling you, to this day, he's the most charismatic man I ever saw.
Mm. I don't know if you've seen the documentary.
No.
A lady called Emer Reynolds made it. A very talented director. Feature length. It was released about 2 years ago. Well worth seeing.
Oh, I'll check that out.
Because the footage of him when he was a kid around Dublin and the brilliant footage there. What I didn't realise was how good a writer he was. How good the lyrics were.
Yes.
With you, what comes first?
Different things for different songs. Sometimes a line of lyrics, sometimes a chord sequence, sometimes a bit of melody.
Mm.
I'll grab onto anything to make a song.
Has anybody ever done a full interview on a bang on the ear? You know, Lindsay was my first love. She was in my class.
Yeah.
And then
and all that, yeah.
That's
no, don't get asked about that one so often these days.
Not?
No.
Why not? No, it's just because it's 9 minutes long and it's autobiographical.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. And there are plenty of verses I left out as well.
Is there? Your bold thing.
Do you know, Lindsay was my first love and all that. She was the girl in my class at school in Scotland.
Yeah.
And she left the school when we were about 14 or 15. And I see the thing, the problem was, as I wrote in the song, I never did have the courage to ask her out. And then she left, her family moved to another town. And decades later, I found her online and got in touch with her. And I said, you know, I became a musician and I put you in this song. And she said, oh my God, I've got that album.
Right. I didn't realise it was her. Because you were invisible to her, in a way. Were you?
Well, as I discovered, yes, apparently I was. I'm still getting over that.
Were you a shy young fella?
I didn't really figure out how to talk to girls until I was a bit older.
Right.
Yeah.
And what about the performing? Did that give you confidence then? Because if you were a guest of Patti Smith at the age of 19, you must have had something.
Oh, well, I had a bit of juice about me by then, yeah. And it was the punk rock days, and it, you know, the barriers between performers and fans were broken down. And when I was living in Edinburgh in the late 70s, we just used to go to gigs and at the sound check, and we were here to see the band, and they would let you in, and you could interview them for the fanzine and so on. And I did much the same with Patti Smith, except she was playing a show in London, and I phoned up her hotel cheekily on the chance that they'd put me through, and they did, and she answered the phone and spoke to me. And when she heard I was calling from Scotland, she quickly computed how far away that was. She told me to come get a train and come to the show, and I did. And she turned up at her hotel, she got me a hotel room, delegated one of the band to look after me. It was brilliant.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a great story. So that was the 80s. Punk rock then. Johnny Rotten or Johnny Lydon or John Lydon is in the news here. I don't know if you know that.
Oh,
you
I do know
you
all do. About yes, it. Yeah, yes, yeah. Yes.
So he's written a song, Hawaii, dedicated to his wife, Nora, who's suffering with dementia. Mm. And he's in the final six for the selection in this year's Eurovision Song Contest to represent Ireland. Mm. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, you can't fault him for looking after his wife. That's no. A big gold star for Johnny Rotten there. But I'm afraid I don't really like his music. I liked what he did in 1977, but I don't like his music and I don't like his politics.
Right. So that's it. That's the end of that conversation.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed doing the research for this because it gave me an excuse to listen back to all the albums. And you are prolific on Spotify. You've pulled out everything, every demo that was ever done. It's up there for people to listen to, which is brilliant. Like there's a piano demo version of Hole of the Moon.
Yes.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
I only discovered this morning. So it sounded like you were in the next room playing the piano and belting out Hole of the Moon.
Excellent.
Yeah, yeah.
Excellent.
So, and you're prolific on Twitter as well. You're constantly putting up photographs and bits of information. Yeah.
Well, when you get to my age, there's a lot of archive material to play with. And with lockdown, there was a lot of time to work at my home studio and develop re-releases and archival albums and so on.
And you're putting together a book of photographs.
It's actually a book of text with photographs yes. about the making of the album, This Is the Sea.
Yes.
And we're doing a box set, a six CD box set of all the music in the build up to This Is the Sea and then the period of making This Is the Sea. And I've been assembling that for about the last year and writing the book. It's been very good fun.
So that's 1985 that was released?
Yes.
Yes.
Indeed.
And This The Sea, the title track, brilliant, and Hole of the Moon and Spirit, my favourite from it, is amazing as well. So what memories have been sort of brought back up looking at the photographs? And
an incredible number of memories, because I have a good memory anyway, but I've been very taken deeply into time travelling into that period while writing it. I went to see Spinal Tap when it was first released at the Electric Cinema in London with my booking agent and Mick Jones, formerly of The Clash. And, you know, I don't think Mick or I laughed once at Spinal Tap. I knew it was funny, but I just couldn't believe any musicians could ever be as thick and stupid as the guys portrayed in that movie. But then I thought about it and I thought, no, I've done things like those guys. And the thing that came to mind, and this I was reminded of this working on the book, is we were in Paris in 1983 for a promo trip. We were doing a couple of songs on French TV. We did a hit, in fact, with a girl called Johnny in France. So we were on French TV. And we had a day off in Paris. And by hook or by crook, we came into possession of some smoking gear. And we went back to the hotel. And we got very, very influenced by the smoking gear. So influenced that we didn't really know where we were. And we got lost in the hotel. And it was a very big hotel with very, very long corridors. And we got completely lost. We knew we were okay, we were safe, and we were out of it, and we were lost. And then suddenly, two guys appeared on our right, and we jumped out of our skin. And we looked around and it was a mirror. We'd frightened ourselves. Spinal Tap, there you go.
There you go.
That's tap enough for tap.
Can I ask you a personal question? Are you clean now?
Yeah.
How long?
It's a very, very long time since I smoked a reefer, man. Must be 30 years, over 30 years.
Yeah. Why did you stop?
It was interfering with my voice. I was losing the rasp on my voice, the smoking.
Right.
I stopped smoking as well. I stopped smoking cigarettes.
Yeah. You're still recording. You had an album out in 2022.
Yeah.
And the performing, so your Ivy Gardens, one sold out, probably a second one sold out.
We hope so.
What do you still get from it?
Oh, I just love going out on stage. Absolutely love it. Love playing music. Love playing with my band. Love seeing what's going to happen next.
So Hold the Moon is your best known song.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, we had Lenny Henry in before Christmas and we were talking to him about him doing backing vocals on a Kate Bush song.
Yes.
Yes, and then he offered up a story about you.
Oh, we met in a tailor's shop.
Did
he tell you that?
That's it. Here, do you want his version first?
Okay.
I'll give you his version first. Here we go.
I went to buy a shirt in London from this great, if you get a chance, go. It's called John Pierce and he makes beautiful shirts. And Mike Scott was there. And I looked at him and I went, too high, too low, or whatever it is.
Yeah, the whole of the moon.
The whole of the moon. Yeah. Not the half, but the whole. And I said to him, oh, man, that is a killer song. Congratulations. I've got Fisherman's Blues, but the whole of the moon, it's literally like an epic, but on a record, isn't it? It's like this epic song cycle. It's beautifully sung, beautifully played. And he said, well, thank you. He says, and by the way, your version of Why Should I Love You is much better than ours. Because they've done a version of Why Should I Love You. And I went, well, God, thank you very much. He was so kind and so generous.
Is he mixed up? Is he mixing two songs?
He's not remembering it quite the same as me. What I said to him wasn't that, I didn't say that Kate Bush's version was better than ours, but I said that I really liked his backing vocal.
Oh, that's what you're
on Why Should I Love You. His voice is so loving and kind on that song. Yeah. And I've always appreciated it. I bought that album when it came out 30 years ago. So it was very nice to be able to compliment him in person.
And you have the same taste in shirts.
Well, he was buying a louder shirt than I would have sported, it must be said.
I was saying earlier on that you put an awful lot of stuff up on Twitter. And one of the things was this recording from 1987. And it's from a school in Connemara.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So you went along to play, was it a secondary or primary? Can you remember?
It was the primary. Do you know, I think it was just an everything school.
Oh, yes.
And I was on holiday. I think I'd played at the Galway Arts Festival with the Waterboys. And myself and my girlfriend and a couple of mates stayed in Connemara for a week or so, just hanging out. The Clifton Arts Festival was in full swing. And the organiser, who's this great man called Brendan Flynn that everybody in the West knows, asked me if I'd come play a few songs at the school.
Yeah. Here we go.
Well, if you know the words to this, sing along. Yeah. A picture.
Great version.
Thank you.
And you got a tweet back from Phelan Gibbons. He said, I was a 15-year-old young lad in third year in the school. I was there, marvellous. The beautiful tunes and the din of teenage Connemara groupies. 36 years later, Mr. Flynn is still going strong.
Excellent.
At 83, organising the Arts Festival. And people have covered Hole of the Moon. They don't need to seek your permission.
No. It's a published song. Anyone can do it.
So you could be in the car of a day, listening to the radio.
Yeah.
And your song could come on.
You know, the Killers cover it in concert.
Do they?
And they played an open air show in Dublin. And one of our backing singers, Jess Cav, who's a great Dublin singer, was in her house and she heard this coming over from wherever the stadium was that they were playing. And she thought, have I missed the call for the gig?
Very good. And of course, because anybody can record as long as they don't change the words, you know, probably sometimes you'd prefer that people would leave it alone, if you know what I mean.
I like if they make it their own.
Oh, dear, yeah.
I like when they change the song. Prince did it about 10 years ago before he died, and he changed the words around. And
that was fine, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think if he'd released it, he'd have had to have asked for permission, but he did it on stage.
Aha.
Yeah.
Oh, that's flattery, isn't it, Prince?
Brilliant. Prince, yeah.
Who do you listen to at home?
And my daughter is mad into Taylor Swift, so she gets played more than anyone at home. But for me, I listen to... I very much like Courtney Marie Andrews, Americana singer. And I listen to Miles Davis a lot. Miles Davis from the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, jazz.
Yeah.
So you don't flit around? You don't go back and put on an old Sex Pistols song of an evening or the Beatles? No, you don't do that?
No, I might do.
Yeah, yeah.
I might do, yeah.
And do you have vinyl?
I do, yes.
What's your prized possession?
Prized possession in terms of vinyl?
Vinyl, yeah.
Maybe a Patti Smith bootleg called Turn It Up on blue and black splatter vinyl. Ah, that's a good
there
one.
You go, yeah. There you go. It even sounds good.
Yeah.
Just the description of it. So you've a 4-year-old son. And
5-year-old son.
Sorry, 5 and a 9-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
And you came to fatherhood late in life, lady.
I was 54 when I became a father for the first time. Yeah.
Right. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, I don't know what to say. I'm glad in a way that I had more experience, a bit more mileage on my mileometer by the time I had children. Yeah, I'm grateful for that.
So you were more comfortable in your skin?
Not so much that. Just smarter.
Right.
Smarter and more patient.
And has it changed you, or in what way has it changed you?
Well, it certainly changed my daily rhythms. I go to bed earlier when my daughter or my son are with me. Considering their mind and their thoughts and their emotions all the time and trying to do what's comfortable and educational for them. Yeah, it's a constant, a constant work.
And has it changed how you write songs?
In an indirect way, it has. Because I spend so much time parenting, I've less time to spend working on songs. And I've learned how to do in 3 hours what I used to do in 3 days. So I'm faster. And also because I'm constantly making up funny songs with my kids or telling them stories, the wheels of creativity are constantly running.
Yeah.
So it's not a very big leap to go from that into writing a song. So it's very easy for me to just plug into my musical creativity without any shift.
Yeah. In doing research, we found that there have been 85 members of the Waterboys.
Wow. Yes, that sounds about right. Yeah.
That's a churn, isn't it?
It's more than any other band in the history of music.
Are you in the
more than
the
Fall, more than Santana? Yeah, I've checked this out. Yeah. We should get a Grammy Award for that. Or to be in the Guinness Book of Records or something.
Well, you mentioned your keyboard player earlier on. He went on to do his own thing in World Party, wasn't that?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. And that's what happens as well. If you get really good people, sometimes they go off and do their own thing.
Yeah, he was very slow getting World Party together because he couldn't find his way out of the hotel.
Yeah. You put up a lovely tweet about Seamus Begley, who died last week. An amazing man, brilliant musician and singer.
Yes, indeed.
And when did you encounter him first?
In O'Shea's Merchant Pub in late 87 or early 88, I was invited there by the two Steves, Steve Wickham and Steve Cooney. And it was every night is Kerry Music Night in O'Shea's Merchant because it's a Kerry pub. And I went in and here was this big man with shoulders like a wardrobe playing this tiny little box and playing this amazing music. And I was already into trad music. I got it. Immediately I knew he was a master musician. But he took one look at me and he thought, this hippie's not going to understand my music. And he said 3 words to me. He looked at me over the top of his box and he said, "Crazy man, crazy." And I figured that's what he thought I was thinking. And then we became friends.
And it's such a sweet voice.
Oh, God. He's the greatest singer I've ever heard. Most beautiful singer.
And because he was the big man. And then, being described as the voice of an angel.
Yes, fantastic.
Sadly missed. Listen, I've really enjoyed that.
We've only
scratched the surface.
Yeah.
So when you release the
book... We'll have to do it again.
Yes, yeah, so when you release the book with the words and the photos, you might come back in.
Yeah.
So I'll just remind them once again that on Monday morning, tickets go on sale for a second Ivy Gardens gig, which is on Thursday, July 13th. Friday the 14th haven't been sold out. Mike Scott, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you. That's from the piano demos of This Is The Sea, which you can hear on Spotify. I love that. We know the other version. But there it is there. Loads of comments there about Mike. Could Mike and the Waterboys please do a tour of the album This Is The Sea? Probably one of the greatest albums of all time. We'll ask him the next time he's in, Patrick and Cavan. And I love Mike Scott and the Waterboys. Love Bang on the Ear and Hole of the Moon, says Aina. And it's great to hear Mike, says Niall in Galway. And I had the luck to attend the Waterboys doing a gig for the Lifeboat on Inishmore in the late 80s. It was a great night. Thanks, Mike, says Tony and Tip. And I was doing my nurse training in Manchester back in the 1980s. We went to see this new band called The Waterboys. We knew they would make it big. We had a brilliant night. Then I went to Australia for a few years and I lost touch with their rise to stardom, says Breed. Well, it's all there on Spotify. So many albums, as I said. My mom went into her local music shop for a gift for my brother for Christmas. She asked for the album. Have you got the album, The Men From The Sea? And sure enough, they knew what it was. It was The Waterboys, This Is The Sea, which is, it's one of those albums, isn't it? And Spirit, as I said, is one of my favourite songs. It clocks in at 1 minute 46 seconds, which is important when you work on the radio. So that was enjoyable. And second gig in Ivy Gardens, July 13th. So thank you very much, The Waterboys. Thanks very much, Mike Scott. Quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
That was a good first hour. And more to come. We have our whodunit quiz. Aoife Scott and Andy are back to sing us out at 4:30. And we have a chat with international rugby player, star of Ireland and Leinster, Tadhg Furlong as well. All of that after 4:00. But Anish Toshi now, the Príomh Skelton and Oakta, Le Marian Ni Hulawan. Good Marian, thank you very much. 51551, ray at rte.ie. It's time for our whodunit quiz. And we have two quizzers standing by to answer three questions each. Whodunit questions. If they go for a clue, they get 1 point. If they go without a clue, they get 2 points. It is whodunit after all, so there has to be clues. And the prize, it's a two-night stay for two people in the Kingsley down in Cork. They have beautiful bedrooms, bistro-style restaurant, luxury spa and an extensive health club. The Kingsley has everything you need for your first getaway of 2023. And it's there near Cork City on the River Lee. Ideal to explore the city and the county. TheKingsley.ie. And thanks to everybody down there for helping us out this week. Hello, Ciara Canning in Donegal. How are you?
Hello. How are you, Ray?
Good, good. Now, you'd like to go to Cork. And
I would.
Yes, you have a very definite reason. What is it?
I do indeed. Yes, I have been a puppy raiser for Irish Guide Dogs for the Blind for about a year and a half now. Mm. And one of the dogs that I raised last year, Honey, she's down there at the main centre in Cork at the minute doing her advanced training. And she's due to graduate, hopefully, in May and find her person, her forever person. Mm. And I have another pup at the minute who is sitting here beside me snoring. And he is due to go down and start his advanced training in May as well.
Uh-huh.
So it would be so lovely to actually stay somewhere comfortable. And I've actually seen that the Kingsley is dog friendly, which is just
there you go. Look at you. You're like doing an ad for it now. I'm intrigued by the graduation. You know, is there cloaks, gowns, mortarboards, the whole thing? I could just
I hope so, because yeah, they definitely deserve it.
Yeah.
I mean, they are absolute superstars. As puppy raisers, we have the dogs for a year, so we do basic socialisation, get them used to the world. Their little brains aren't ready for advanced training till they're at least a year old.
Ah.
So then they start advanced training down in Cork with a qualified trainer.
Yeah.
And just seeing the updates that are coming from Cork about what Honey and the rest of the H litter are up to is just amazing. It was the first ever litter of puppies for Irish Guide Dogs that was born in Donegal. So they're really special. There was 10 of them.
Yeah.
And it's a really special litter. So they're all doing really well at the minute. But it would be even better to go down and see her with her forever person.
First hand. Isn't it a lovely thing to do, Ciara?
It has been an absolute wonderful thing to do. I actually came back to Ireland after being away for about 20 years. I came back because my mum wasn't well and I wanted to spend time with her. So when I came back to Donegal, I actually didn't know many people at all. And so doing the puppy raising has helped me just slot into a new community and get to know people. You know, you yes. can't walk down the road without somebody saying hello to you. So it's just a really nice way to get into the community.
And they have a bib, don't they, to say that they're a dog in training, or do they?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. They have their puppy in training bib. Yes. So it's bright yellow, so you can't miss
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's a conversation starter.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's a wonderful thing to do, and it's been an absolute pleasure.
Okay. You're up against Dominic McDonough, who's in Galway City, sitting in the car, waiting for his wife, who's in doing the shopping. Hello, hello, Dominic.
Oh, you're here.
I like your style. So this is what you do all the time. So talk us through it.
Well, my wife likes to go in shopping sometimes, and when she goes in, I sit in the car and relax.
Ah, listen to the radio.
Exactly.
Right, and if it's longer, what would you do?
I'd probably get a book. I'd bring a book with me.
Yeah. It's a nice thing to do. When I bring the kids now off to sport or whatever, I'd bring a book with me or listen to a podcast. And it's me time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So what's your wife's name? Mary. Mary.
Mary.
Yes, yeah.
Mary, yeah.
And how long are you married?
Almost 53 years.
Brilliant. Yeah. So how many children?
We have 3 children.
Yeah. And grandchildren?
I have 7 grandchildren.
Right. Right. And are they all close by or no?
They're close by. They live near where we live. We're out near Barna village there. We live out that side, and they're living, most of them live around us,
right,
which is great.
Yeah. And you've strong opinions on sea swimming winter, during the winter, do you?
Well, I wouldn't do it. I mean, okay if you're into that kind of thing, but it's not my scene.
Yeah. No, I was just reading that book, Age Proof. We had that lady on yesterday, Professor Roseanne Kenny. And she was just telling us the science behind it, that, you know, it's a shock to the system and it works for some people. So there you go.
Yeah. Exactly.
You're originally from Claddagh, which is like, that's right smack in the middle of Galway City. You just cross the bridge and you're there. Yeah. Yeah. Lovely. Okay. Now, lads, it's a new quiz this week. It's been going okay. Fingers crossed it'll go well today. It's the whodunit quiz. So with all whodunits, there's clues. If you go for a clue, you get 1 point if you get it right. However, if you opt to just answer the question straight and identify the person in the clip, you get 2 points if you get it right. Okay? And whoever has the most points at the end is the winner. And if it's a draw, we go to a tiebreak question. Good luck to you both. Kieran Donegal and Dominic in Galway. Here we go. Okay. So, Kira, the first category today is music. So, do you want a clue? Or do you want to go for the two?
We'll live dangerously and go no clue.
Okay. So, who is this? You believe in things you don't understand. Can you stop it? The worst is done its way. Who's that?
I think it's Stevie Wonder.
It is Stevie Wonder in there. Yes, 2 points. Well done. Good stuff. Yes. And you see what happens there. There's a little clock at the end and a klaxon. So we're giving you 5 seconds to answer. That's a good start for you, Kira. Dominic. Music for you too. Do you want to go for a clue or do you want to go for the two-pointer?
I'll go for a clue.
You'll go for a clue.
I'm not much good at music.
Okay, right. Here's the clue then. She won the Eurovision for Switzerland. Okay, she won the Eurovision for Switzerland. Who is this? Who's that?
Celine Dion.
It is Celine Dion. You get a point. You're probably better than you think. Okay. Alrighty-o. Right. So it's 2-1. Our next category for you, Kira, is film or the movies. So how do you feel about that?
Yeah, we'll try no clues.
No clue. Okay, right. Who is this?
Oh, gosh. Somebody once said, I think it was Margaret Atwood. Actually, I always say it was Margaret Atwood, but I don't even know if she said this. But somebody once said, the fate of the well-known is to be misunderstood.
I think it's Meryl Streep.
It is Meryl Streep, yes. Well done, 2 points. That's Meryl Streep, one of her many acceptance speeches. Spotted there. Now, Dominic, you're sort of under pressure now because Kira's on 4, you're on 1.
Yeah. I got no clue this time.
No clue, right. Who is this? Listen carefully.
It was 1982 when I wanted to move out to L.A. And I had a beat-up 76 Monte Carlo, rust all over it. I would fill it with oil and check the gas. And I drove it out here in 3 days. I didn't turn it off. Afraid I couldn't turn it back on. And I got here, broke down, and I got a bicycle, and I rode to auditions all around town.
Who's that?
It sounds like Matthew McConaughey.
It's not. It's George Clooney. Now, you can't catch Kira, Dominic. Unfortunately, that's the way it goes. We're going to send you out a Ray D'Arcy Show Keep Cup, which is handy if you sit in the car a lot. You can bring a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. Have it have it in the car, listening to the radio, reading the book. Lovely talking to you, Dominic.
You too, Ray.
Yeah, mind yourself. Bye. That's Dominic in Galway. Kira, well done.
Yay! Oh, that's a great way to start the weekend.
So you're gonna be down in Cork to see Honey graduate, which is lovely.
Awesome stuff. Yeah. And if she does have a cap and gown, I'll make sure to send you a picture.
Do send us a picture, and you'll be staying, as you say, in comfort in the Kingsley, which is dog friendly. Okay. Have a great weekend, Kira. Well done.
Thank you. Bye so now. Much. Bye.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551, ray@rte.ie. On this Friday afternoon, we have Leinster and Ireland international Tadhg Furlong on the phone. How are you doing, Tadhg?
Not too bad. Yourself?
You have a Friday off, which is great.
Well, I was trained this morning. We're in the Aviva now.
Yeah, but you're not playing tomorrow, so it's a completely different weekend for you.
It is, yeah. No, I'm looking forward to watching the boys now. I've been injured the last stretch, so it's a big game for them tomorrow. So you're cheering on the stand.
Great. I better get this out of the way because it's important. You're sort of teamed up with Just Eat. They're the official food delivery partner of Leinster Rugby. They've announced that their sustainable seaweed-based Notpla food packaging will be available at Leinster Rugby fixtures across the remainder of the season. And they've set up a fund to subsidise that, justeat.ie. Now, so tomorrow it's Racing in the Champions Cup, but Leinster have already qualified for the knockout stages, haven't they?
Yeah. I suppose we're into kind of seeding points now, and we want to finish strong, so it kind of matters where you finish on the table, where your, I suppose, last 16 game will be.
Hmm. But there's a ruthlessness about the squad, isn't there? That even if the game doesn't matter, you're still going to go out there and put the points on the board.
Look, it matters, isn't it? It does. It does matter to us. And look, you want to play well. I think the competition we're placed is really strong this year. So every time the lads take the field, they're trying to put the best foot forward.
Mm. And then there's the added, I suppose, pressure of the Six Nations and later in the year, the Rugby World Cup. So Andy Farrell announced the squad for the Six Nations. I know you're not going to make any comment on it, but were you surprised, disappointed? You're on it, obviously, that's obvious. But what about the other selections?
I suppose everyone talks about the Joey Carberry and being left out, and you'd feel from a personal level for Joey, of course you would. But at the same time, obviously I'm a teammate for Ross for a load of years, and you're happy for him on a personal level. So it's, you know, it's tricky. I suppose that's rugby.
Mm. And I suppose with Johnny Sexton being such an important player and at an age, and I've spoken to him about this myself, that, you know, it's about succession now, isn't it?
Ray, I just push and shove and scrummage and maul. Yeah. I don't think a whole lot more about out half succession.
That's a brilliant answer, and you do all of those things brilliantly, Tadhg Furlong. You know, in a lot of people's books, you'd be the best prop forward in the world at the moment. And does that sit? Is that a tough load to bear on those big shoulders of yours?
Ray, I push and shove and scrummage and maul. What people say about you or what they think about you is their business. Yeah, look, you just try to play.
Yeah.
Like you. Honestly, the group we're in and the people involved, we're just trying to push it on and drive it on every day and trying to get better. So I suppose what really matters to me is the judgment and of the players and the coaches, and after that you can't really control a whole lot else.
Okay, well let's just talk about specifics then. So 19th of May in the Aviva, which is brilliant, is the final of the Champions Cup this year. So it'll be, if Leinster get there, it'll be a home fixture. So that's good. And then fast forward to the 9th of September in Bordeaux, the opening game in the 2023 World Cup. Do you think about that, dream about that, chat about that?
Yeah, look, it's important. Like, it's all carrot, no stick for us with Leinster. If we can play well tomorrow, or if we can get a result, it means that we don't have to leave Dublin again.
Mm.
You know, if we kept winning, we wouldn't have to leave Dublin again. I suppose the World Cup is on everyone's mind after that. In some ways, maybe it's not to the forefront a lot of the time, but it's definitely humming in the background. And, you know, it's something everyone's definitely building towards and trying to aspire to.
Yeah. And we have the quarterfinal monkey on our back, don't we, Ireland? We're the quarterfinal kings. I see 7 quarterfinals since 1987.
Yeah, well, kings would suggest that you win the quarterfinals, yeah, and we haven't.
That's true.
But yeah. And look, and I suppose we want to go as far as we can in the tournament, and it's not easy. I think every team says that. So I suppose it'll come down to the day and the group stages and all to that.
Okay, so that's the future. Talk to me about the past and some amazing historic wins over the last few years. Most importantly, against New Zealand. What does it feel like on a day like that to have the green jersey on?
It's like a day of days, you know what I mean? It's a day to stand up and go after it. I presume you're talking about the third test.
Yes, yeah.
And it's not lost on us, you know? It's not lost on us, you know, there's just people in Ireland getting up out of bed to watch the game, and, you know, we can give them a boost to start their day and a bit of a pep in their step. And, you know, that means something to us. And we're delighted. You know, it was a great time for, I suppose, the squad, you know, both off and on the pitch. And we probably didn't play as well as we would have liked to in the November series. But, you know, we're coming back all together next week, and we're off to a training camp in Portugal. And I suppose everyone's excited to work hard and see where we can get to.
And peaking at the right time is important in any sport. Yeah, so Ireland are ranked number one in the world. And of course, everybody then wants to have a go at you, don't they?
Yeah, and like, where would you like to be? Like, of course, everyone, you know, wants to be number one in the world. Yeah. And I don't think it's something to be, like, not ashamed of or
no,
be confident
brilliant.
With.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
It's great knowing that teams then want to come and get the scalp, because you know you're getting the best version of them. And in return, then, you know where you're standing, where you're at as a group, and you see the best version of a team coming at you and trying to beat you.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good challenge, and that's only a good thing.
It's great, isn't it? And it must be brilliant for you individually to be part of both setups, you know, around now. It's, you know, because great players exist in teams, and they never win, and they never get ranked first in the world, and they miss out. But you're right smack in the middle of it.
Yeah, and look, I am very lucky. There's some days that I'd be singing up that anthem in the Viva or running out in the RDS, and you might think to yourself, how the hell did I end up here? But look, it's very lucky. I'm very lucky with the sort of the organisations I'm involved with and the planning and everything that's gone in behind the scenes to get a group of players to allow us to be competitive. And everything that goes with it. It's not easy.
Well documented, you're from Campyle in County Wexford, a beef farmer. Your dad's a beef farmer and you farm as well. John Hayes is your hero. Have you ever met John Hayes?
No, I haven't met John Hayes. No.
Like Tig, it's a small country and the rugby world is even smaller. You just missed each other, or does he not hang out in the rugby circles anymore?
I don't know. Yeah. You know, you'd want to ask John that. Right, I couldn't answer for him. But no, never came across him. I'd love to meet him. He was my hero growing up.
Right.
Or one of my heroes growing up. Obviously, like, you relate to him, a similar background, etc. And tie head prop as well.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
No, it's lovely. I'd love to meet him and have a chat, you know.
Yeah. Beef farming, tight head props. There you go. It's a small enough club, I'd imagine. Yourself and John are in it. I don't know if there's anybody else in it. I think there was a guy who used to play with John Gray and his brother Jim Gray. They were farmers. I don't know if they were beef farmers, but they played rugby as well. Now, Just Eat, and they're the delivery, the official food delivery partner of Leinster Rugby. You've a few stories from your past about food. You're not the master chef.
I wouldn't say, I'm definitely not a master chef, I can assure you that.
Yeah.
I might be a master food taster.
Right. And spoofer sometimes as well. Tell us about the truffles, the pigs and the truffles and the yarn you spun.
Oh, it's a good few years ago now. We just basically convinced a few lads that I was a truffle farmer from Wexford. We had a few acres of forestry, and the truffles just grew coming out of the summer, and it goes into winter, and the hotness in the ground and the wetness, it was great for the fungus. And we had two pigs on the lead, and they go around and they go nuts when they smell the truffle, etc., etc. So we were just spinning yarns and see how much.
So that's how you occupy yourself when you're not training. I heard you say it before, it's a good old yarn, because Molly and Matilda were the two pigs. And
yeah,
that image of Tadhg Furlong going around with Molly and Matilda, the two pigs on a lead around the wilds of Wexford, that's a good image. So you'll be there tomorrow cheering the lads on with 40,000 other Leinster fans, then the Six Nations in 2 weeks' time. Will you be fit for that, Tadhg?
I will. Well, I hope to be.
Yeah.
And that's certainly the plan. I suppose there's a good few boxes to, I can't say ticking boxes, that's probably too easy, but I have markers to hit.
Yeah.
And to be fair, the physios, they're all over it. So you just got to trust the process and you know, hopefully we can get there.
And Wales is a good, strong start. Yeah.
Yeah, away as well. So there's a lot of change going on in the background there. I think I've seen their squad. It's you know, a very competitive squad. Warren Gatland's back in, so we'll get stuck into the previewing next week.
Great. Tadhg, great talking to you.
A1, yeah, no water.
Good luck. Mind yourself. See you. Bye, bye.
Take her handy. Bye, bye.
Now, Aoife Scott, you're back with us.
We're back, yeah. Thanks for having us. You didn't boot us off after the last song.
He's a funny man, isn't he?
He's gas, yeah.
Very
laughing.
Funny man.
He's got good timing.
Yeah, he does.
Good comedic timing. Probably getting lessons from Neil Delamere.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not saying anything there. Just the reviews are in of your performance.
Oh, no, don't tell me.
Aoife was here, if you didn't hear it, at the beginning of the show, and she did what I thought was a brilliant version of a really good song.
Thanks.
Young Hearts Run Free. And let's say, love, love, love this version. Aoife's voice is stunning. Gave me great Friday feelings. Love the Irish accent cover. Sounds amazing. Yeah. And Aoife Scott is a legend, you see.
That's me ma.
No, like her ma, Frances.
Oh, right, okay.
And Aunt Mary. Best wishes from Micheál, a huge fan and a former teacher of hers. Does that ring a bell? Mm-hmm. And just on Tadhg Furlong there, lovely to hear my favourite rugby player on the radio. Looking forward to the game tomorrow with my brother, says Jerry. That's Geraldine from Clane. And you were talking about going, Andy?
Yeah, I was just saying earlier, I've never been to the Aviva.
Have you not?
I haven't been to a sporting event in a long time, so I think, yeah.
We're always working the weekends. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We have this weekend off before, our gig is on a Wednesday next week, so we have this weekend off. It's kind of a bit, yeah.
I presume people know, and they probably don't, but Andy and Aoife are partners in music
together.
And life.
Together.
And crime.
Divils. Yes, we are. We live together, yeah.
And
yeah.
It goes way back. I didn't know that. How far back?
Yeah, myself and Andy, we met 10 years ago. Yeah, as you can see, there's no ring on my finger now, Ray. Just mentioning that on the radio, on national radio. No, we met 10 years ago on tour. I was in a different band and Andy was in a different band, and we were in Germany. Right. So we consider Germany to be a very romantic place now. It's very romantic. So we tell all the Germans that we consider ourselves a German couple.
Were you on the same bill? Was that it?
Yeah, it was kind of a festival tour. Yeah, uh-huh. So the band was, and he was on before our band, and then, yeah, so.
And then there was in the bar afterwards, is that sort of thing? And
well, no, it wasn't until we got home. Yeah, yeah. Right. No, it was kind of, we went on a few dates when we got home, but it was basically I was in a different van to Andy, and when we would turn up at the venue, he'd always be ironing a shirt, and the German promoter would say, Andy would make a very good husband, and I started looking up, he would make a very good husband, which he hasn't been my husband. He's not my husband yet.
No, stop.
He's used to it.
Good slagging there.
Sorry about that.
Do you still iron the shirts, Andy?
Not as much as I used to now, you know, but I have to get on that as well as buying a ring, I suppose.
Well, if you want to do it live on the radio, let us know.
Right,
we move on. What are you going to sing for us?
We're going to sing a song that my brother wrote a few years ago, and I put it on my first album, and my mom, as we were growing up, we used to travel around with her because she was gigging all the time, and she used to listen to a lot of James Taylor, and she brainwashed us into loving James Taylor. So this song has James Taylor's on the radio singing all about Mexico. So this is what this song is called, Deep Dark Water. Well, the deep, dark water to the pine-filled hills brought her. As I sat there not knowing where we were going, will the musty air be blowing? Ooh, yeah. James Taylor's on the radio singing all about Mexico. At the moment we are cruising down low. See some creatures, great or small, we're getting high, I hope we don't fall. We will have to make the wilderness call. Oh,
lovely. Eva Scott, Women of Note, next Wednesday in St. Patrick's Cathedral as part of Tradfest 2023. And more information about that and all the gigs on Tradfest, tradfesttemplebar.com. Eva, thank you very much.
Thanks, Ray.
Andy, enjoy the rugby if you get to go. That's it from us. Sarah and Cormac are here with Drive Time. We are back on Monday. Have a brilliant weekend.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.